I want to talk to you this morning about taking care of our neighbors. It seems that the rich man made no effort to take care of Lazarus, his neighbor. And I want to start by telling you a story about a child, Alice Gahana. She survived two concentration camps during the Holocaust. An amazing feat. And asked what she remembered the most about her experience. Her reply was this: the empty windows. The German soldiers came to her little village when she was 9 years old and told her family that they had to come into the village square. And Alice says, I walked that morning carrying my suitcase down our cobblestone street. The street I had walked all of my life. But as I walked down the street, I noticed the windows were empty. No one came to the windows. My friends, my neighbors knew what was happening, but nobody came to the windows to see what was happening to me. I think to be left alone in this world is one of the most horrible plights that we can face. To feel as if no one cares about us can be like hell itself. To be separated from any sort of love, I suppose that is a form of hell. It's as bad as the pain and torture of the concentration camp. This lady, Alice, was telling us that. Now I ask you this morning, have you ever felt that no one cared about you? Have you ever experienced that deep, dark chasm of utter aloneness? We are indeed our brother and sister's keeper. And Jesus is making that fact very clear in our lesson this morning. This parable is not just a morality tale about riches and poverty. Many times it's read and preached about in that way, and that's fine. But this story goes much deeper than that. The story is about indifference, about selfishness, and what it really means to love God and to love one's neighbor as we love ourselves. And this is the greatest commandment. Everything else in life falls in line once this commandment is fulfilled. And our love for God and for others means more than doing no harm. In order for love to be real, it must reach out actively. Love requires that we help other people. In Jesus' parable this morning, Abraham says, "Between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed." And that chasm is created by the indifference of one person to another. This rich man in the parable lived behind a wall of indifference. He didn't do any direct harm to Lazarus. He just didn't do anything. And in a very real sense, to do nothing means that we do a lot of harm. To be avoided, to be overlooked, ignored, to be unloved is a great threat to our survival as a species. It's been some time back, I was watching a documentary about the importance of relationships. And in that documentary, they examined a study where scientists took chimpanzees away from their mothers at birth and they put them in a cage alone. And at one end of the cage was a cold, mesh-looking apparatus that held a bottle. It had food. And next to that was a soft, comfortable contraption that had no food, no bottle. But this comfortable contraption was soft, it was warm, and it was somewhat inviting. So which substitute mother do you think that these chimpanzees chose? They chose a soft, comfortable mother that didn't have any food over the cold apparatus that had food. And as these baby chimpanzees grew, they had serious problems. The footage showed them cowering in corners, hardly able to move as they sucked their thumbs. They were in a sort of living hell because they'd never been loved. They'd never been held. And I think a very similar thing happens to us as human infants who, say, in an orphanage are provided with food and clothing, but no touching, no holding. The great chasm that we see in our gospel lesson this morning between heaven and hell is aloneness, being alone. And in Jesus' parable, this rich man's sin was not so much that he was rich, but that he did not take any notice or care of his neighbor. He was too self-absorbed. And in that sense, he created his own hell. So the question is, as Christ followers, what are we to do about this? I believe that maybe not all the time, but sometimes everyone, all people need and want to be noticed. Sometimes all we need to know in the midst of terrible and difficult times is that somebody cares. When we're feeling lonely, there's nothing like a phone call from a friend. Someone just to say, "Hello, are you okay?" That simple question, "Are you okay?" can make all the difference. Usually we're not okay, but the fact that someone takes notice of us can oftentimes lift our spirits. And we can weather the storms of life a little better. You know, we can't do it on our own. We all know how freeing and grace-filled it is to be noticed when it seems our world is caving in all around us. And that's one of the very, very important important things about being the church. You know, none of us can go it alone. We're not lone rangers. We're created for a life in community, and we need to walk the way with others. We need their support, and they need our support. Many of us find it tempting to make our spiritual journey a private quest because we can't seem to find a church that meets our expectations. But the church is a fellowship of sinners whose lives are just as flawed as yours and mine are. And what binds us together is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know, there's a movement in this country toward self-defined spirituality, detached from what's called organized religion. And what that means is unorganized religion is superior to organized. It's like the Lone Ranger syndrome applied to religious life. And it doesn't stand up well. Our Christian lives are to be anchored with others so that we can nurture one another in the things of God, the truth of God. Jesus said, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." And Jesus lives in each one of us who believe. But he promised to be present in a special way in the assembly of believers. Worship in the church is a foretaste of that heavenly feast that links us with all the saints and angels and all the company of heaven. And you know what? They're all cheering us on. They're cheering us on as we assemble together and as we go out into the world together, inviting others to come in. We live in an age of aloneness. And we all know Lazarus. We see him every day on way too many faces. He is our neighbor, our coworker, our classmate. He is a homeless man or woman on the street. And when we see and hear of someone who is lost, alone, broken down, and hurt, do we simply say, "It's a shame, but it's not my problem"? Or do we take action? Do we put God's love where the rubber meets the road and do something about it? Jesus did not say in his parable of the great judgment, "You killed the hungry, you cheated the naked, you assaulted the poor." He said, in effect, "When I was hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, when I needed your help, you ignored me." A heart captivated by God's love is what God desires above everything else. Because it's a heart that God can use. A heart that's free to love others and to serve others. Most of you have probably seen the movie Schindler's List. I've seen it more than once. Oskar Schindler was a German businessman who saved thousands of Jews from the Holocaust. He employed Jews in his factories. But when these Jews were finally liberated, he broke down in tears, saying, I could have gotten more out. I didn't do enough. And I would guess that each one of us can say the same, that we didn't do enough. When I look at my life, when you look at your life, what do you see? Do you see much indifference to the suffering of others and so many privileges for us? Do we say there's so much more I could have done? You know, there's a mountain of evidence that could sink any one of us when we stand before the judgment of God. But that's not the last word. The last word is that in Jesus Christ, God has taken the judgment for us on the cross. And so we live by grace. Jesus has set us free. And we are to celebrate this freedom by seeking to return to God and to others all that we can. And God uses even our tiniest faith when acted on to accomplish great things. We as followers of Christ are like the four-year-old drawing a picture and offering it to her daddy, and the daddy will always say, beautiful. And with that same excitement, God also accepts our flawed offerings of our lives and says, beautiful. He doesn't see the flaws in our life. He sees the love. Love made perfect in Christ. And that lies behind every Christian's action aimed at helping, loving, consoling, healing, and caring for others. There are so many places in this world and so many people who are in need of our help. Some are rich. Some are poor, but they're all around us. And it's very exciting to be given the privilege and the opportunity to change their day-to-day lives from gray to sunny. People are alone. They're lonely. They need someone to talk to. Someone to invite them out to lunch. People are hungry. They need someone to help them get to the community kitchen or to a food pantry. People are lost. And they just need to be invited to come to this amazing community of faith. And to us, Christ says this, it is your problem. It is your responsibility. Love one another as I have loved you.